Yesterday, some of our members had a chance to practice forgiveness. Seven of Goshen's members played paintball, and if you've never participated in that sport, here's how it works. They give you a gun, they give you some bullets that are made of paint, and the object is to shoot your opponents with that paint. Anyone who engages in that activity may end up, and we've got at least one person here this morning, not me, but we have at least one person here this morning who has some welts on their body, and that's a possible consequence. If you play paintball, you may be hit, shot in a very sensitive part of the body, perhaps the head. And it is also possible to be a victim of friendly fire. Someone unintentionally on your team shoots you. That also happened yesterday. Anyone wanting to play paintball needs to come with the spirit of forgiveness. That's just part of the game. When an incident happens on the field, and incidents do happen, we had some of that yesterday, the offender should apologize, and the affected player should forgive, and the game continues. That's how it's supposed to work. Forgiveness is part of paintball because forgiveness is a significant part of life. Forgiveness, when we think about it, we have it in terms of the Bible, forgiveness of sins. And as we think about forgiveness, whether it's a paintball field, whether it's in the family, whether it's in the neighborhood at work, it's also a significant part of our interaction with others. What does God say? What does the Bible say about forgiveness? What does it mean to actually forgive someone? Will God forgive us if we continue to commit the same sin? Does the Bible have anything to say about sins not being forgiven for some reason? When it comes to others, what does forgiveness really mean? If a person does not want to have a relationship restored, or if a person will not repent, do we extend forgiveness? Does the word forgiveness have maybe more than one meaning? Is there more than one sense built into the word? Well, there are a lot of questions that we can ask about forgiveness, and there are a lot of questions that we can answer from the Bible when it comes to forgiveness. For today and a little longer, I'm not sure exactly how long, I want to dig into the subject of forgiveness. And as we start studying this subject, I'd like you to know that the Bible has a lot to say about the topic. In fact, if you were to look at the words in the Old Testament as far as Hebrew words, and you were to look in the New Testament as far as Greek words, you would find that there are actually seven different words which are associated words that describe forgiveness. There is, as we look at the Old Testament, one Hebrew word that describes forgiveness between God and man and men and men. Then there are two other words as far as the Hebrew Old Testament which talk about forgiveness, but those two words only deal with forgiveness from a divine perspective, God forgiving man. As we look at the four New Testament words that we have for forgiveness, the most common word means to send away. Or that word might also be translated in some contexts to let go, pass it off, not pay any attention to it. And that word, as you count it as a noun and a verb, it's used more than 50 times in the New Testament. If you were to look at the subject of forgiveness, you would find that the Bible has more than 125 direct references to forgiveness. So this is a big topic in the Bible, and as we think about life, it's also an important topic in life. It's been said, and I'm not sure that I could speak to this directly as far as proving it my own, but it's said that there is, and this is a quote, there is no book of religion. Out of all the books of religion, there is no book of religion other than the Bible, which completely teaches God's forgiveness of sins. Now, that statement is accurate, and as far as I know, it is. That's an interesting point. There is no religious book other than the Bible that talks about or that teaches that God is able to completely remove sin. Now, that statement is true. Or even if that statement is mainly true, it tells us that we should want to know what the Scripture says about forgiveness. Now, Michael read for us from the book of Hosea, chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Now, if you go back to that reading, and several followed along, and we certainly appreciate that. Hosea was talking to northern Israel, God's people there, and he said that sin had entrapped God's people. In Hosea 14, verse 1, the text says that Israel had fallen by their sin. They had fallen because of their transgressions. It's almost, the picture seems to be that sin had pretty much crushed the people of God. Because they were in that terrible state, they needed to be forgiven. The prophet said to the people of God, Hosea chapter 14, verse 2, he said, take your words, take your position to God, take your spiritual petition and make known your position and seek God's forgiveness. In fact, that's what he told them to do, to seek forgiveness for the transgressions. He said, if you need help, it's not going to come from Assyria. You can't go to a pagan nation like Assyria and get help. Hosea 14, verse 3. He said, if you're going to receive the forgiveness from God, you have to put away the foreign gods. You can't stay with the idols any longer. And then in verse 4, you have the prophet speaking for God. God said, I will heal their backsliding. I'm going to love them. And not only am I going to love the people here in the north, I'm going to love them freely. And God said, with part of that love, with the forgiveness, is going to come the turning of my anger. Then as you look at that fifth verse in Hosea chapter 14, it offers an illustration of refreshment. God said that his people would be blossoming like the lily. God said, I'm going to be like dew to the people of God. Forgiveness is a great, it is a beautiful, it is a wonderful gift. Hosea 14 verses 1 through 5. And as we look at Hosea 14, we find that forgiveness, in its fullest sense, is the restoration of fellowship. Two estranged parties, when forgiveness occurs, they are brought back into full fellowship. All the difficulties have been removed. Now, at some point, if we're going to investigate forgiveness, we should look at what might be involved if the full restoration of a relationship does not occur. Is there still some sense in which forgiveness takes place? But at this point, as we think about forgiveness as far as a broad, a general, and overall understanding of forgiveness, it is two parties that are at odds for one another. Forgiveness means that they're coming back, they're being perfectly joined once again. What was broken has now been fixed. Where there was disharmony, where there was strife, where there was a lack of unity, all those things have been addressed. People are now getting along fine, and it was as if the difficulties never happened in the first place. These definitions correspond quite well with some of the verses that we find in the Bible. In the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 17, God says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, as I think about that passage from Hebrews 10, verse 17, a New Testament reference, another one comes to my mind. And it's in Luke chapter 15. In just a little bit, we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 15, verse 20. But before there, remember the context. Jesus talked about this dad, this father, who had two sons. One son was content to stay at home. The other son, that younger son, came to his dad and said, Dad, I want my inheritance. Dad gave him the money. And with that younger son, he took his inheritance. He went into the far country. And the Bible says he wasted those funds, he wasted those resources with riotous living. Now, the younger boy at some point decides that it's time to go home. And as he makes that trip home, who knows how long it took, but as he makes the trip home, Dad is watching. As the father sees his son, the Bible says, afar off. What do we find as far as the father's behavior? The father comes running to the son. And as the dad runs to the son, have you ever thought about what dad didn't say? Dad, as he runs to the son, he could have gotten close and said, Son, I'm going to put you on probation. I don't know why you're back, but I want you to know that you're not going to get any more money. I've given you your inheritance, and you're not going to get another dime from me. Or, Son, are you coming back because you've repented? Are you coming back because you realize that I was right and you were wrong? Well, before we get too much further, let's take a look at Luke chapter 15 and see what we have in that 20th verse. And he, that's dad. And the dad arose and, or I'm sorry, that was the son. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was afar off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Jesus said the dad saw his son afar off. Dad must have had pretty good eyesight. Along with that eyesight, Dad had some other things. Notice several of the key words that we have in Luke 15, verse 20. Key word number one is compassion. A second key word is ran. A third key word is fell. And the last two key words are neck and kissed. As we look at this event, once again, the dad didn't say, Son, are you coming home to confess? Son, why are you here? Are you looking for more money? No. As you look at the dad, he had love, he had compassion. And yet as we think about forgiveness as it applies to our time, some of the people perhaps that we're around, maybe even in some circumstances, our own lives, people say, well, what if that person isn't willing to repent? What if that person isn't willing to confess the wrong? How can I give someone forgiveness when he, she, they are not interested in my forgiveness? There are perhaps some people, Christian, perhaps in a few cases, likely in more circumstances, people who are not Christians. But they are of the persuasion, I'm going to take that grudge. I'm going to take that wrong. And I'm going to hold that against the person. I'm going to continue to hold that person accountable for what he or she or they did. until my dying day. I hope to deal with that perhaps in a little more depth in a later lesson, but for today, notice this lesson. When it comes to forgiveness, a key part of the mix is love. If you want to be forgiven, show love. If you need to be forgiven, show love. If a person does not want to be forgiven, it's still right to show love. I know that because that's how God acts. There are some individuals, when it comes to the spiritual part of life, who will not reconcile their relationship with God. For whatever reason, they want absolutely no part of that. God says, here's my offer of forgiveness, just like we have in Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. And the person says, I don't want it. You can take it. You enjoy your relationship with God. It's not for me. When a person responds to God in that kind of way, is God hateful? When God has a rebellious individual, does God say, I no longer love you? That's not how God behaves. God continues to love the people who will not respond to an offer of forgiveness. And that needs to be how we deal with people as well. For the balance of today's material, I want to think about what is probably the most common aspect of forgiveness, or what comes to mind most, and that is people being forgiven by God. If you've not thought about it, one of the ways that God describes for us forgiveness is through color. Sometimes color can be a powerful way to illustrate a truth. Now, the Bible doesn't go overboard as far as teaching truths by color, but there are times when the scriptures do use specific colors to teach some truths. We find that throughout the book of Revelation. Sometimes you have the color red or the color black or the color pale color in the book of Revelation. But you also have, when you deal with forgiveness, some information about color. When we think about color in life, we have orange and we have red that sometimes indicate caution or danger. When we think about color, the color black maybe indicate bad news. Green is sometimes a positive color, as is blue. But when we think about forgiveness and color, the prophet Isaiah in the first chapter, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, his prophet, God's prophet said, though your sins be as scarlet, there's the first color. God said, I'm going to describe the forgiveness. He said, even though they are like scarlet, God said, they will become white as snow. Then as you look at the end of Isaiah 1, verse 18, you have the same basic thought. It's a parallel thought. It's a synonymous parallel. But the thought is worded in a slightly different way. Though your sins are red as crimson, God said, they shall be white as wool. Now, in our day and time, as we hear people talk, whether it's on the paintball field or maybe it's in the home, the word forgiveness is sometimes used in a rather loose fashion. People say, oh, please forgive me. But that word is used in a context where there is really not much to forgive. It's not a significant issue. Somebody says, you hit me in the head, you accidentally shot me, or this or that happened, and please forgive me. Well, that's a good spirit. That's a good sentiment. And we believe that people are certainly telling the truth when they're out there in the paintball field. Or if somebody is handing you something and they drop the glass or whatever it might be, they say, oh, please forgive me. But that's not really in the same category as we're looking at in this segment of our lesson. That's not in the same realm as being forgiven of our sins by God. When we talk about being hit in the head by a paintball and being forgiven of sins by God, there's no way that those two are even remotely equal. When we think about the forgiveness that comes from God, we're talking about a debt which can't be paid. If we gave all of our money, if we gave all of our resources, if we worked 24/7 and we accumulated even half or all the wealth in the world, and we presented it to God and we said, this is the payment for our sins, God says, it's insufficient. It's not going to work. The forgiveness from me requires a much greater price. God also says, when that debt is paid, he said, it's paid in full. Here's some examples. Back in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, verse 12, as God talks about this debt of sin which is forgiven, God says that that debt is removed. As far as the east is from the west, that's God's definition for the forgiveness of sins. Have you ever thought about the difference between move and remove? There is a world of difference between those two words. Imagine you are going to the doctor, and the doctor says, you have a serious disease. It's in your legs. And I'm going to go into the area where your disease is, and I'm going to move that from your leg to your arm. Would you be satisfied with the doc? I think most people would be upset with the doc. I don't want you to move it. I don't want you to put it in a different spot. But doc, if you're going after that disease, if you're going after that problem, then don't just move it. I want you to remove it. I want you to take it away. This is what God says when it comes to sin. God says, I don't just move it around a little bit. But God says, Psalm 103 verse 12, he says, I remove it. And God says, not only do I remove the sin, but he said, I remove it as far as the east is from the west, to a very different place. There was another prophet, Micah. In the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 19, God gives two illustrations for sin. God says, first of all, I trod that underfoot. Now, to me, that's an interesting illustration. We might walk over something and it gets pressed into the ground a little bit, but it's still visible. But God says, imagine me, the God of all. If I were walking and I'm treading upon your sins, well, that would seem to suggest that they're going to be fully hidden. But we also have a second illustration in Micah 7, verse 19. And that second illustration involves the sea. God said, I have taken your transgressions, I have taken your wrongs, your sins, that debt, and God says, I have cast them not only into the sea, but God said, I've taken your sins and I've cast them into the depths of the sea. Now, in this area, we have a lot of places where you can find a small amount of water. Maybe it's a mud puddle, or maybe it's in a subdivision, or maybe it's on a farmer's property, and as you look at that water, it's very shallow, maybe 3 or 4, maybe 5 or 6 feet deep. If you were to take a rock, or maybe you've dropped something more valuable into the puddle or into that pool or that pond, maybe it's a pair of pliers. You're out fishing and somebody knocked the pliers off the dock and they're there. And you can see the pliers down there and you're thinking, okay, 5 feet down, do I want to fish them out or not? And even though it goes into that amount of water, it's still visible. But God says that's not true when it comes to sins. God says you think about sin. And you think about the deepest, you think about the darkest sea, places certainly where in ancient times people could not go. Even in our day and time, when we think about the deepest seas, there are places the pressure is just too great. And we say, we don't have the technology to get down that deep. We can't go into that particular area. And God says, this is what I do to the sins that I've forgiven. I've taken them to the very depths of the sea, and this is where I sink them. Nobody is going to dredge them back up. Another passage, another prophet. You see, this was a big thing with God's prophets as they talked about the forgiveness of sins. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 2. God said, I'm going to take your sins and I'm going to hide them in like a dark cloud. Once again, you have there the idea as far as removing visibility. You're not going to be able to see the sins. They're no longer going to be held against you. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17, another passage. He has there the image of God putting sins behind his back. Now, once again, God is not structured as we are. He is not a physical being. So the image there is certainly figurative. But just as something would be behind our back and it's not going to be visible, it was God's way through that prophet of saying your sins, when they're forgiven, when they're covered, they're no longer going to come back and haunt you. They can't be used against you. It sounds like sins are being put away for good. And that's exactly what the Hebrew writer affirmed in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. David, that great Old Testament character, said in the book of Psalms, Psalm 32, verse 1, my sin is covered. And not just covered a little bit, it's not partially covered, but he had there the same idea that we find in Micah and Isaiah and the other prophets, and that is it's going to be fully addressed. God is going to cover my sin because it is at the bottom of the sea. It was this same writer who in another psalm, Psalm 51, thinking about a sin that he'd committed, he described his sin as being blotted out. God, you're the one who has the ability to blot out my transgression. And then he went on to say in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me, O God, a clean heart. Give me a new start. Give me a new life. Allow my record to be completely expunged. And that's exactly what God did. I once read about some missionaries who went to teach some Eskimos about Christianity. If you've ever done any kind of mission work, or you know someone who has done some mission work, and the language of the missionary is not the same as the language being spoken by the people who are being taught, oftentimes there is a language barrier. If you're the Christian who's doing the teaching, you might want to communicate a particular concept or idea. And sometimes there just is no word that's equivalent in the language. That has caused some people, some missionaries, to make up some words. And in this particular case, the missionaries decided that they needed to compound a word. That is, they needed to take multiple words from the Eskimo language and put them together to help them understand the idea of forgiveness. Remember what we said earlier? The Bible is thought to be the only book which talks about complete forgiveness, the full expunging of sins by God. So the teachers, they came up with this word, and it is a real word now. You can find it online or in some dictionaries. And the word is 24 letters long. It's a long one. And if you hear it pronounced, I tried to count the syllables, and I'm guessing it has about 9 syllables. I listened to it a few times, and I thought, I don't think I can pull that off. I don't think I can get anywhere close to it. I can tell you that on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the highest, that as far as the difficulty in pronunciation, this word is a strong 5. But even though very few may be able to pronounce this word, it is a word which every single person can understand. You see, as they went back to the Eskimo language and they took these various words, the compounded word for forgiveness means not being able to think about it anymore. Not being able to think about it anymore. That's the word that they made, and that's the meaning of the word. That's what God was telling his people when it came to forgiveness. Not being able to think about it anymore. Why? Because the sins are behind my back, because I've trodden underfoot the sins, because they're in the depth of the sea. Illustration after illustration, you have a clean heart, the sin is covered. Repeatedly, God said to the people in the Old Testament, this is what I want for you. And this is the standard, that as we think about forgiveness among men, we also want to extend to others, not being able to think about it anymore. That's a great blessing from God. And is that your relationship with God? When it comes to sin, not being able to think about it anymore because it's been covered. That's why Jesus died. He came so sin would be forgiven in that sense. Not just covered up a little bit. Not just moved instead of removed. But fully taken away. And every single blot, whether we would count that as a large stain or a small stain, God has said, I've paid the price to forgive every single sin. What an amazing gift. Forgiveness is truly a wonderful word. And how sad to walk out of this assembly today and not be someone who has been forgiven of our sins by God. There's really no reason, there's no excuse for that. Someone says, well, that sounds like a pretty good offer to me. What's required? Jesus said, without belief, unless you believe that I'm he, you're going to die in your sins. That makes sense. If Christ is a payment for sins and we will not believe in him, sure, we're going to be held accountable for our actions. Somebody says, well, I understand that. What about something else? The Bible says we've got to repent of our sin. We can't continue to live in that state and expect to have God's forgiveness. Someone says, well, that makes sense to me too. Anything else required? We need to confess Christ. He's the one who's paid the price for sin. So yes, acknowledge him as Savior. Somebody says, that third step makes sense to me. Is there anything else? One more step to access that initial forgiveness. And that is, there must be a means by which we contact the benefits of Christ's blood. The Bible says that means is baptism. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, Paul said, we're baptized, we contact the benefits of Christ's shed blood, and then we arise to the newness of life. And that life is new. It's brand spanking new, because every single sin has been forgiven. As we as a Christian continue to walk in the light, 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9, we continue to have that cleansing blood applied to our spiritual record, and the forgiveness of sins continues. God wants us to forgive others as we go through life. Forgiveness, it's a word that we need to live by as far as practicing it, and it's a word that we need to live by because without it, we're going to die in our sins. Have we been forgiven by God, and do we try as we go through life to be forgiven by others, forgive others? Those are the questions that we want to ask and answer now as we stand and sing the selected song.